Pat Bostick will be here momentarily. He'll be with us for the entirety of the show. Jeff Hathorne at 9:35 on the latest Pirates trades and on a conversation that he was a part of with Aaron Rodgers yesterday. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Can also get after us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Shows like today are my favorite, Doran, because there's so much football stuff to get into. I've read way too many practice reports from media members about yesterday's first padded practice for the Steelers, but we'll toggle back and forth. The Pirates could absolutely make a trade in the next 3 hours, and if they do, we'll break in, we'll tell you about it. There could be other big trades around Major League Baseball that would be noteworthy that we will tell you about if and when they come down the pike. You can always chime in at 412-928-9370. The YouTube comments are a cesspool right now. People getting into it about the Key Brian Hayes trade. The text line is split, it seems, on the Key Brian Hayes trade. I just don't really understand why people thought that there would be some massive return for Hayes. I actually thought it was more likely they'd keep him because there wouldn't be a big-time market for him.
Right.
And I'm okay moving out the second-worst hitter in all of Major League Baseball. You can talk defense to me until you're blue in the face, but my eyes tell me, despite what the wins above replacement stat would say, that he hurts you more than he helps you.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 14 defensive runs saved. Okay, that's a mathematical calculation. We see him make above average to sparkling plays all the time in the field. We also see two on, runners in scoring position, two outs, and him top the ball to the third baseman or strike out or hit a pop-up all the time. And I know, again, what the advanced analytics say, you can't tell me that doesn't add up to a player who hurts you more than he helps you, especially on a team that can't hit.
That can't hit, right, exactly.
Like, if you tell me that he has saved 14 runs, how does that compare a run saved to a strikeout with a guy on first and second with two outs? Because that's a hit that would score two runs.
Right.
And I don't think it gets calculated that way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out kind of thing. It's not good riddance. It's just, hey, he needs a change of scenery, and they need to move on at the position. Now, unfortunately, we're going to have to watch probably Triolo play the rest of the year, and he's a worse defender and may actually be a worse hitter. So the rest of the way, it might not look so good.
The rest of the way, it might not look so good. I mean, even with, you know, watching Triolo, but maybe watching Hayes even develop into a hitter with the Reds this year and actually doing something with the Reds this year, you could watch that. And then also, you know, thinking that where they're going to allocate that money that they're saving from the Brian Hayes deal. Like, we're going to roll into the offseason. Like, okay, like, are you going to make a move? Like, what are you going to do with this? And it could be nothing.
Right.
Nothing of significance.
And that's why when they moved him before I even saw the return, I went, let's go. This is good. Didn't think it would happen. Financial flexibility, roll it into next year's team. I will go back on my word. I will hate the trade if those two things happen. A, you just don't do anything, and so that money just gets pocketed. And B, if he goes to Cincinnati and starts actually hitting, I'm going to be irate.
Oh, yeah. But you know it's going to happen, so prepare yourself.
I don't know it's going to happen.
Oh.
I think they broke him.
Okay.
I think they broke him.
Okay.
If O'Neill Cruz went elsewhere, I think he becomes a 40-homer hitter. If Jack Sawinski went to the Rays, and there are reports out there that the Rays are interested in Jack Sawinski, I think he may well turn into a hitter. Key Brian Hayes is, in and of himself, to me, different than those other guys. Like, I just think it's been long enough. He's regressed the last 2 years. I think he's broken. That is not me defending the Pirates in any way, shape, or form. And saying, well, they trade. He stinks. He's never going to hit. No, they broke him. So I think they screwed the pooch on Key Brian Hayes.
Hmm.
I do. Now, they paid him $70 million.
Right.
And there's got to be personal accountability there from Hayes. But they didn't help this guy develop.
Mm-mm. Cincinnati can.
Truth serum, I mean, I don't think they're going to unlock anything in Key Brian Hayes because I think, again,
is
he's
it more
broken.
That you just think or you hope that they don't? Like, not
it's
for,
both.
Yeah.
It's both. And not because I have anything against Key Brian
right.
Hayes, as I've stated a couple of times. It's both. can't say it's 100% in my mind that he won't turn into something.
Because, it always happens.
Because they're them. And you brought up a great example with Quinn Priester.
I mean, even Luis Ortiz for a good portion of this season.
Till he was throwing balls on purpose.
Right.
He was looking pretty good. He was chewing up a lot of innings for those guys.
I mean, name guy. Name former Pirate.
Tyler Glass now goes off and is outstanding. Joe Musgrove got better when he left. We're naming a lot of pitchers here. But, yeah. I mean, guys go elsewhere and they have success. I mean, you go into the Wayback Machine, Jose Bautista. He's hitting 19 homers as a Pirate. He goes to Toronto and he hits 50-plus home runs. So we have seen it before. I guess I won't rule it out. I just think he's broken. You can weigh in on all that at 412-928-9370. We are joined by the esteemed and wonderful Pat Ubostic right now. Pat, how you doing today, buddy?
Great. How are you?
Were you at practice yesterday for the University of Pittsburgh?
Sorry, I'm having a hard time with this.
Was it that bad?
This thing? Maybe. No, I was not at practice yesterday. I'm going today.
Saw a lot of video of practice.
Yeah?
It seems like Pat Narduzzi knows the names of all of his players, which I think gives them a leg up on West Virginia at this particular point.
Maybe it does.
In the offseason. Hey, who knows, buddy? Hope springs eternal. We'll get into Pitt later because the ACC media poll came out. Mm-hmm. And I think now, more than ever, we have no idea what we're evaluating. Just as a general public watching college football. Vegas keeps putting out these win-loss totals, over-under totals. Vegas would know better than most. I don't think apart from Vegas, and even Vegas, we have any idea what we're looking at. But you're doing good?
I'm doing great.
You recovered from your 8,000 holes of golf last week?
Yes. 110. Yes, I'm recovered.
Let me see those palms. You got calluses, you got blisters. No, those are massive hands.
He's
over
in there.
Harry?
Callus is in there.
He's upset with us because we didn't know that he was in the band.
I am not upset. Crowley projected feeling bad by calling me upset. I'm not upset.
You projected on him?
Crowley's projecting his insecure feelings because he thinks he's upset.
But you Callus fired back. Definitely.
How dare you guys not know I was in the band?
You guys don't
you're talking
attention.
About the marching
band? It was a temporary feeling of disappointment,
but such a nice guy, he is just, he's a walking drama TV show.
Yeah.
Harry?
There's always something.
Kicking it with Callus. It should be a TLC show. Yeah.
That would be a great show.
It would be a great show, but it would be an acquired taste, and
it would be
dozens of people would watch that.
A niche audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Texters writing in, Elias Diaz has gone elsewhere and blossomed. That's a good one. Miguel Andujar has actually turned into a decent baseball player, and he was not that here. And someone texted in, you know, if they traded Henry Davis, he would go elsewhere and succeed. I actually agree with that one, too.
Yes.
I think Henry Davis would go someplace else, hit 20 homers, and he's now become this defensive stalwart. He'd be like a 6-win catcher someplace else. So, yeah, I can't keep watching Hayes guys and think he's ever going to turn into a good hitter. I'm just tired.
He goes there and bats like 275. Would that bother you?
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do.
That's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because if he did that,
he's batting 236 right now, I think.
He's got the second worst OPS in Major League Baseball.
Right. If he goes there and improves marginally and is a part of a playoff team.
Yeah. Right.
And that is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah.
He is 3 percentage points away from being the worst qualified hitter in Major League Baseball. I think that sticks. But if he goes there and does hit 275 and you're paying him $8 million, and you know, I think it all averages out to 875. He's a steal of all steals. If he performs the way he did 2 years ago, he's a steal of all steals. And that's Cincinnati's looking at, okay, we'll give up the ninth best prospect in our system. We'll give up a good reliever, and it's a sort of money in, money out deal for them this year. They're thinking, worst case scenario is we got the best defensive third baseman in the sport on a team where we can hit. Best case scenario is with a little bit of lineup protection, with our tiny ballpark, with our coaches, he becomes an average hitter, and then you might have like a borderline all-star in your hands.
Fresh start, new scenery, a winning team. I mean, it's all, the story's being written already.
Oh, yeah.
Like it is.
What are you, Natasha Bedingfield?
It's being authored.
The rest is still unwritten?
No, it's written. It's just you haven't read it yet.
I just don't want to hear the Cincinnati ballpark thing. Like, people are blowing up the text line.
He's not a power hitter.
Exactly. He's
matter.
Not a fly ball hitter.
No, he's not a fly ball hitter.
Might become one.
See, that I don't. I think he'll, with lineup protection and a little bit more freedom, like every batter that goes up for the Pirates is under immense pressure. because they're swinging pool noodles. I mean, that's what's going on. I mean, they've been better of late, but they have these stretches where they just can't hit. So the pressure that's on him is immense. He goes there, he's on a good team.
And you're just a guy.
Yep.
It's like being in a four-man scramble and you got three good players with you.
Mm-hmm. Been
there. You can go up there and just whack away and hit and giggle.
Hit and giggle.
I think he goes there with freedom, a new lease on life, and he's batting 270 and rub it right in your face.
We got to find a way to make a bet on this.
Okay. I already know what's going to happen. I feel like Pat.
I'm right on the same page with you. I'm right on the same page with you.
I already know what's going to happen.
I have a great story to roast Crowley here when we can go off topic.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It is. I played golf on Tuesday. Adam Gunn, our good friend, his buddy John, was a club crew team member at
Penn
State. He's 6'5", long arms.
Similar build to me, yeah.
Yes, and I said, John, in your humble opinion, which is the least important position in crew? Like the least physically demanding? He goes, oh, the coxswain.
Well,
he goes, we used to go actually try to recruit girls to be our, and we used to go try to find the smallest guy in the dining hall and recruit them to be our coxswain. And I said, can I share that with Crowley?
Well, it's obviously the least athletic position.
But you have to be loud. You have to be loud.
Mm. And you have to be intelligent. I mean, you're like the offensive coordinator. You're calling the cadence. You're steering the boat. You're developing the strategy. It's important. It is not athletic. You literally sit there. You sit there and you pull cords. So from an athletic standpoint, of course.
You have to be athletic to row?
You have to be strong.
Not athletic.
They used to practice, I guess, up at Penn State. They don't have many bodies of water.
Sure.
They used to practice on a lake.
A lot of corn, though.
They just go in circles. So everything was a turn. So, like, seldom were you actually going straight. So it was a constant turn, and then they flip and go the other direction.
It's actually hard to get better that way because
you
can only steer it so much unless you get up to a good speed.
Yeah.
So you're calling, like, port pressure, starboard pressure.
Starboard.
Oh, yeah. Starboard.
Starboard.
Starboard?
Starboard is a club in Dewey Beach, Delaware. Where I puke my guts out many times in my life.
Wow. Starboard?
Stop it.
Man.
Bow, stern.
Is there any video of you doing
of that
this?
Nature? Yeah. I don't know video. I have photos. I'll show you guys during the break. I'm sure it'll be
really
interesting
to
you. You can call in, weigh in on the Bucko trades, but we've put the Steelers off for far too long. We'll get Doran's analysis of yesterday's first padded practice, Pat Bostic's analysis of the first padded practice. Damn it. That's on the way.
Starboard.
Jack Sawinski had one of the great at-bats of his Pirates career in extra innings, and then immediately in the bottom half, one of the more disastrous defensive plays you'd ever see. It's just absurd. And you know I've had this weird special place in my heart for Jack Sawinski.
Oh, my God.
Like, I really do think if he went to the Rays in that little minor league ballpark that they have, and they're a really good baseball team, I think he'd probably hit 40 homers or something.
Probably.
They would fix him.
Stinks here, though.
But I was about to say nice things about Jack Sawinski yesterday, and we're watching the game right now on Sportsnet Pittsburgh, the re-air. I was about to tweet nice things about that at-bat. Happy I didn't. Wow, great job by Jack Sawinski. Something like that, because you know I would have got murdered the next half inning.
Too soon.
What are we doing out there? Catch a fly ball! Pirates have won 8 of 9. But let's talk about the Steelers. Mike Tomlin yesterday, after the first padded practice, asked about Broderick Jones, who did some individual stuff, did some stretching, things of that nature, but did not participate in full.
He worked partially today, worked an individual and on the side, and so he's moving back to full participation.
I know, Pat, you've been a massive fan of Broderick Jones, and you think he's a really good player, so you've got all kinds of egg on your face right now with how bad this guy's been through 4-plus practices.
Yeah. It's not just about that first video clip, because that could have been a number of things. Could have been left guard. Like, it looked like it was a slide, and that left guard didn't help him, but it was a massive overset nonetheless. I don't see how they go through this preseason without adding something to that group. Some insurance up front that if it doesn't go well to start the season, they can adjust. Because I don't think Faltano's a left tackle. I just body type, you know, all those things. I'm not sure that's the right fit, especially for a rookie. Basically a rookie.
Right.
But I'll say it now. I don't think they make it through the whole season with him as their left tackle. I just don't. And if they do, then I will give all credit to him for having reimagined himself and become a dependable player at the most important position on the offensive line. I think they're really putting all their eggs in that basket, and it's a little surprising given his track record at a less vulnerable position.
Do you blame the Steelers for Broderick Jones right now, or do you blame Broderick Jones for Broderick Jones right now?
I think they're equally culpable, probably. I think he's a guy, I mean, he's not as demonstrative as George Pickens, but it's a similar, right? There wasn't a huge sample size in college from him. And I've seen a lot of people coming to his defense on social media for the lack of reps he's had, both in college and pro, and for having gone back and forth. That is not a justification for making him your left tackle to start the season and having nobody behind him that can jump in and play.
Why do you hate Dylan Cook so much?
I don't even know who he is.
Yeah, he played 14 games his NFL career.
That's not a justification either for trading up to get him then.
No,
if you
it's
knew
not.
That.
It's for a right tackle, even trading up to get him, it was a little bit high. And then there's been so many instances of them just being visibly not happy with him. I don't know if this is a pet project or like a we want to prove you wrong type of thing, which they've done. The Steelers have done before, and they've done it well, and then they've failed miserably. But this, I can't see it based on what I've seen and who they have behind center being good enough, I should say. It might be fine, average, but he'll have two busts a game and get beat twice a game. And
that'll lose you a game.
It'll lose you a game, especially with a team that has been rather anemic offensively for the better part of the last 4 years. So I'm very concerned about it. It's nothing to do with him. It's more about the player they're deciding to basically put the weight of this offense on.
I'm not overstating this. The most important team to the fans in Pittsburgh is the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's no question about that. They're a distant number one. This is the biggest story in Pittsburgh sports right now.
Mm-hmm.
Broderick Jones. You can't have a good season, and I would define that as double-digit wins, a playoff win with hope of more. You can't have that if your left tackle can't be average in front of that 41-year-old quarterback. And every show has talked about this. We've talked about it a bunch. People are writing about it. I don't even know if enough big deal is being made about this. Like, oh, Jalen Ramsey. Oh, look at DK Metcalf. How did Caleb Johnson look yesterday? We'll get into all that. None of it matters if Broderick Jones is a turnstile at left tackle. And right now it looks like he's going to be, oh, wait, we couldn't evaluate him yesterday because he's not even on the field. That's the other thing. You need to get better. You need these reps. You need to get comfortable over there. He's working individual drills yesterday. And Mike Tomlin made it seem like he'd be back today. I'll believe that when I see it, because Mike Tomlin undersells and underplays injuries all the time.
See, this is why it's hard for me sometimes to give Omar Khan and the front office a lot of credit, like full credit. Like, I'll give them, you know, B pluses and A's for the off seasons that they've had, but for the development for certain players, and Doug talks about this all the time, like, it is very questionable. Like, not just the development, but the preparation and the counter for certain things to happen, I feel like is lost upon them. Like, you knew that Broderick Jones was a right tackle that couldn't beat out your left tackle last year. That Broderick Jones, that you traded up to get, could not beat out your left tackle last year, who isn't here anymore. Now, he got paid because of the market, but was honestly a slightly, I guess, maybe above average tackle.
That's probably fair.
So your first-round pick that you traded up for, who naturally played left tackle, couldn't beat out that guy. So you didn't put yourself in a situation where you made Dan Moore Jr. a swing tackle and had Broderick start at left. So if I'm assessing that, and Broderick's at the right tackle spot, and then I draft a right tackle, and then they share time, and then that right tackle gets hurt, and I'm assessing Broderick Jones, can't beat out the left tackle, but still at right tackle because we don't have anything there. Like, I'm probably going to have an insurance policy going into this year, and they didn't do that. And they haven't done that for the second year in a row at wide receiver,
yep,
too. So, like, that's kind of where I question things. Like, whether Broderick Jones pans out or is decent or not, or they can get through games or not, I'm still going to have a plan B just in case he doesn't pan out. And they kind of have a blind spot in that area for multiple positions.
That's ironic that they have a blind spot on the blind side.
How about that?
But Sandra and Bullock. I feel like a broken record with this because it's not...
Sandra Bullock in that movie.
Yeah, those white pants.
It's less about Broderick Jones. It's more about their seemingly disregard for the value of that position.
Yeah.
Right, you've got the 97th out of 140 tackles ranked pass blocker in the NFL who allowed 10 sacks at right tackle last year, which is 138th out of 140 tackles.
Oh, man.
And you're going to put him – he had 10 penalties last year.
Three in a row.
And you're going to put him at a position where, again – if I'm a right-handed quarterback, which the Steelers have all right-handed quarterbacks, it is the most important position. And if I'm a defense, it's the guy I am going after. I am going to, I mean, listen, you've got an older quarterback and you've got a vulnerability at that position. He is going to get your best punch ever. It's not even like he's going into the season like under the radar. Like we're talking about it. Every team that's game planning the Steelers is like, 77.
Yep.
How do we get into his head, in his kitchen? And not even about Rodgers. They'll get to Rodgers by virtue of that.
Sure.
So the only saving grace, which I have not seen yet from the film and footage I've seen, would be that they are a much improved run offense.
Right.
Much more consistent run offense. And they are not in third and medium to long very often, which is really hard to do in the National Football League. You're going to be there at some point. If they are a much improved run offense, it does shield him a little bit. But inevitably, you're getting into a firefight with Kansas City or Buffalo or whoever. If you're going where you want to go, and you're going to have to drop back and throw it to go win a game, and you're going to trust him to block Joey Bosa, to block Myles Garrett, to block Trey Hendrickson, to block whomever on that side.
Right? It ain't great.
No, it's not. And again, I go back to January, we talked about it. Receiver, tackle. We talked about this. It mm-hmm. is tackle.
Mm-hmm. You're the only guy who was saying it at the time.
I mean, I am.
You really were.
No one seems to be paying much attention to it. If I'm under center and I got that guy, if there's one lookout, like Ole, open the gate, his beat percentage is 9.5%, according to some outlet.
That's Dwight one out of Schrute's 10, was 100%.
One out of 10, good point. One out of 10 snaps, he's getting beat. Think about that.
Man, that alters your offensive game plan, too. I mean, like, you're like, all right, well, we want to get guys out in routes. We want to keep, you know, so many guys in. Now, if he's a liability, you got to protect him with, like, Darnell. You got to protect him with Jaylen Warren. Like, those guys can't get out on routes.
So I want to be solution-oriented here. I'm not going to, you know what about problems. Solution-oriented is they're going to be in 12 personnel a lot. They're going to be in two tight ends a lot. It's probably why they didn't get another receiver. It's because they can't justify paying another receiver when they're going to live in 12 personnel. And they're going to have Darnell Washington beside his former teammate all the time.
Yep.
Which is going to make them quite predictable in what they do. And is going to limit, because he's your best blocking tight end by a long shot. You're not going to put Hayward there or Freiermuth there. It'd be a waste. Jonnu Smith can't be there.
If you had to if you had to win a rep to save the world today.
Yeah, you're having you put
and it's Myles Garrett v either Broderick Jones or Darnell Washington.
Darnell.
That's sickening.
I mean,
to
like
me.
No, I didn't even have to think about it.
I know.
Like you're basically making him a guard.
Yep.
You're going to make your left tackle a guard. And you're going to forfeit ineligible. Which if you can't run the ball effectively, will make you very easy to stop and predict what you do.
I mean, there are going to be games where they're trailing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like, you got to throw.
You guys got to be out.
You know,
it's third and eight.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that's the solution oriented. But again, it takes three quarters of the playbook out of the door. Like, it throws it out into the paper shredder.
I'm a big fan of I'm solution oriented. We only have a quarter of our playbook now. And I'm not saying you're being unnecessarily negative. That's just realistic.
That's the hand you're going to have to be, that's what you're going to be dealt. At least to start the year. I mean, but again, there's going to be times where he's going to have to earn his paycheck at that position.
I mean, next Thursday is going to be very telling. I mean, it's going to be, and you know, we talk about preseason games and there's one tonight and we're all excited about it. And then obviously that dies off because we want real football. But for our sake and watching the Steelers, I think Darnell's going to get a lot of reps.
Yeah.
And he may get exposed in the preseason and it may not be against, you know, a first teamer. Could be, if he's getting exposed against second teamers, oh man.
What's the dude's name from Buffalo who kicked his ass last year?
Rousseau?
Yep, Greg Rousseau, who actually wound up having a really good year, but that was like his coming out party.
Yes, it was.
He just absolutely eviscerated him. Broderick Jones was their swing tackle last year. If all things were equal and everybody was healthy, Broderick Jones is going to be their swing tackle, which is just, it's just disastrous. And I think you're right about the bloom off the Omar Khan rose. Like, people love Omar Khan, I think, generally because he makes all these big swings, but his two draft classes, immediately afterwards, A+. Well, now we're starting to see what it looks like when these guys play and they develop, or there's that lack thereof. There is no development.
It seems like Omar Khan really is very good from the second to the fourth round at this point. I mean, just being honest, like, I feel like that's where he makes, like, you know, he has done the best from the second to the fourth round, and especially the third round and fourth round. I feel like he really makes his money. I mean, because, I mean, the first two, I mean, the last first round pick didn't play last year.
Yeah.
Got hurt. Had injury concerns coming in.
Right.
Obviously, Broderick Jones. And we'll see what Derek Harmon does. So I think that he really makes his hay from the second to the fourth, and really the third and fourth round is where he gets the quality players. If you want to go through that, you guys know who the third and fourth rounders are. They play a lot.
We went long there, but it's because that's the biggest story in Pittsburgh sports right now. I firmly believe that. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. Caleb Johnson, he was anticipating that backs-on-backers drill. How did the young rookie running back look yesterday?
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
My bad. Doran, I'm going to give you a hand signal before I play that.
Well, is there a trade? There better be one.
There's not a trade, but real quick, we're going to do a lot of Steelers talk unless something breaks. I just want Globe Life to get their money's worth. Several teams known to be interested in Mitch Keller, including the Chicago Cubs, New York Mets, Toronto Blue Jays. According to The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal, it is likely the Pirates keep Keller. The Cubs, Phillies, Yankees, and Tigers are known to be interested in David Bednar. The Yankees also have their eyes on Andrew Heaney. That's the latest on the Buccos. About 10 hours and 20 minutes away from the trade deadline. Yes, Harry.
You said you want to think of Globe Life, their money's worth. It's not even Globe Life. It's Globe Airport Parking.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
Globe Life. I heard him laughing in there. I didn't know why.
Who's on the move? Another major league trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
You didn't get the sponsor right. Money's worth.
Globe Life.
Twitter poll brought to you by Minka Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. What a moron.
Who, you?
Yeah.
You have to be really smart to be a coxswain.
Yeah.
Right! No, left! Right! You can't, life!
You can't do right.
Starboard!
You can't do right in life.
Starboard!
Yeah. So we'll keep you up to date on anything the Pirates do, any other trades that might have ripple effects on the Pirates over the course of the show. We'll get to that. Caleb Johnson, Steelers third round pick out of Iowa. I have high hopes for him. I said he's going to be the first Steelers running back of note to get a second contract with the team. I believe in his scheme fit. I believe in the player. But by all accounts, struggled yesterday in the backs on backers drill, which is, that's the knock on him. And this isn't something, no.
This is the second time.
This isn't, it's the Zin. It's not something you can't coach, but the knock on him was didn't throw a lot in Iowa. So he's raw in the pass protection. And Malik Harrison, former Raven, bull rushed him on the first two reps. Third rep, Eddie Faulkner, Steelers running back coach, was like, yo, Johnson, you got to keep your hands inside rather than letting Harrison get in on your chest. And then in the third play, the same exact thing happened again. And then he came back around and lost a rep to Mark Bruner's kid, who, okay, he's going to be probably a great special teams player in the NFL. I have no doubt about that. But he went 0-for-4.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that he's going to take reps away from Jaylen Warren and or Kenneth Gainwell until he figures that out. Like, you can't be the third down running back if you're not going to be good in pass protection.
No, not at all. I mean, but that's expected. I mean, you're a rookie running back, and it is, you know, it's a lot harder. It looks easy whenever you don't have pads on, but like that's a position where when you put the pads on, you can tell a difference. And I'm not really looking too much into this. You know, it happens. He'll probably get his feet underneath him, but it is a different. It is a different mindset. It's a different game, and it comes at you real fast.
They're gonna bring him on slow.
Yeah,
I think they carry four running backs on their 53-man roster when it's all said and done. I think the Cordero Patterson release is evidence that we saw Trey Sermon make a couple plays. Yeah. I think they have some confidence in Trey Sermon, and I think they put, unlike they did with Najee, where they just threw Najee to the fire for the most part once he got there. I think they take their time with him due to some of these developmental things. And you don't want him building up scar tissue when you've got capable veteran players around and you can put him out there to do things he does well. That being said, at some point, he's going to have to be able to do those things if he's going to be an every down player. But back on backer drill, like that is such a, among drills, that is such a, exaggeration of what actually happens.
Sure.
In just like 9-on-7 inside run is an exaggeration of real life. Like if I'm a linebacker and I'm blitzing, I may have an idea of what your scheme is, but I don't know that the back's going to block me. So I'm not running through the line of scrimmage
free,
not being sound of a gap and thinking that the right guard is just going to let me go or not get a hand on me. Right. So this is it's an exaggeration. And it does put the tailback in a very, very tough spot. You're in a real tough spot. You're stopping, and they're just running full tilt right at you.
Yeah.
So it is like...
And there's two guys, too, and Tomlin points. So you don't know which of the two guys is coming. Bang, 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 bang.
Right.
Interesting to me that it was Malik Harrison. I did go back and look. Le'Veon Bell was a star backs on backers, but I'm pretty sure they gave him Vince Williams at first. Didn't go so well. Because it ain't gonna. All right, much more on the Steelers' first padded practice as we move forward in the show. Some of the big storylines to come out of yesterday's practice. Coming up next, ACC Media Poll is out. Where did the writers pick Pitt to finish this year? We'll tell you. We'll react to that coming up next. Also, any moves that go down.
Who's on the move? Another Major League trade presented by Globe Airport Parking.
With the Pirates before the deadline, we'll keep you up to speed. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. It's trade deadline day in Major League Baseball. If a trade is made, if something that affects the Pirates happens, we will let you know. So keep it right here for all your trade deadline reaction. Meanwhile, ACC Media Poll came out yesterday. I love that it comes out after everyone leaves the media days so that they don't have to be like, hey, Pat Narduzzi, you know we picked you ninth? Like, scared media. So here's the predicted order of finish. Clemson 1, Miami 2. Clemson got 167 first place votes. Miami got 7. Then SMU, they got 2. Georgia Tech got 2. Louisville, Duke, Florida State 7th. They got 4 first place votes. North Carolina 8th, Pitt 9th. I'm not going to say anything. I'll throw it up to my Pitt broadcast experts. Your thoughts, Mr. Dickerson?
Well, I said this whenever we brought this up before the show. I like when Pitt is picked low. I do. And, this doesn't really matter. I've never really paid attention to preseason anything, preseason All-Americans, preseason Maxwell picks, preseason anything, because the season is the telling story, right? So, but I like whenever they go into the season and they're not given any grace. They're not given any credit. Because as a player and as a coach, I know that fuels the fire, even if they are not or they are paying attention to it, to obviously be better. And nobody knows how these teams are going to pan out.
now more than ever.
Now more than ever, like you said before, because of the transfers and, you know, those things. So I could care less where Pitt is right now. All I care about is where they are at the end of November.
I feel the same way. I focus less on Pitt and more on who's ahead of them and what questions exist there. I mean, Clemson, I don't think you can argue much with them being one. SMU's a returning playoff team with their quarterback back. They have a boatload of money. They spent a boatload of money. Georgia Tech's getting a lot of love.
Quarterback's decent. He's tough. Yeah,
Haynes King's a good player. They got a really good tailback in Jamal Haynes. Duke had a good year last year. Syracuse is lower.
Duke got that quarterback transfer, right?
Darian Mensah. Yeah.
They
got Manny Diaz, but I could see them taking a step back. Like, Louisville's always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have Miller Moss from USC, and Brohm just does a really, you know, they have money, they spend it, and he can develop quarterbacks. And they seem to have picked another good one this year, an older veteran quarterback to come in and do what they do.
They're always explosive.
Florida State, man, I don't know. Like, they were picked to win it last year and won three games.
Maybe the worst season in the history of college football, honestly, when you consider the expectations, what they had done the year before, and just how god-awful they were.
And Miami might be consistently the most overrated team in college football, especially when it comes to, like, week 14, when they have to win a game to get in to wherever they have to go.
Brand
and
team.
I just do not have any faith in Carson Beck.
No.
Now, I guess he's back with one of the Cavender twins, so perhaps things have settled down.
But now they're going to the same school.
But my thing is like, man, like, you had drama in Georgia. Now you're like on South Beach.
Yeah, buddy.
Making money too.
Yeah, money. Your car's getting, you know, wrecked and ravaged, and like I don't know, and I'm not sure Mario Cristobal's a good coach. I mean, a lot of people can go down there and win seven, eight, nine games. To get them over the top, man, you've got to coalesce. You got to bring it all together, and they have not been able to do that.
What about North Carolina,
dude?
They're ranked ahead of Pitt, right?
Eighth.
They got what, 40 more votes than Pitt?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what to think. No, absolutely no idea. It's either going to be really good or really bad. I don't see it being anywhere in between.
Oh yeah,
I think it's like 10-2, or like
2-10.
This is a one. This is Saban at the Dolphins, but the reverse.
So Pitt picked ninth. I mean, West Virginia wasn't picked that low in the Big 12 poll. They didn't do one. They'd have been last. Coming up next, Omar Khan asked about all that cap space that he's got available to him. What did he say? We'll react when we come back. First, Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 82. That's more like it. 82, way better than 95. Lowest 65. Oh, 65% chance of rain.